White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 807.
Hi, this is Andy Bertram, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast. War Eagle.
Who has the toughest schedule in the SEC this fall? And hey, let's take a look at the first week of the season. Why not? The AU Wishbone is next!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn! From
the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois in Eastern Virginia. It's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Ben. How are you?
Okay, I'm okay. We've got some fun things to look at tonight. We have some sad things to talk about. We're concerned. A lot of stuff going on. Not a lot of huge stuff, and we'll get to it all. And I think I'm going to put the pause on the Auburn fun meter for tonight because I think we have an Auburn concerned meter in some ways. And so I'm just going to go straight on into that, is that our running back and kick returner, Brian Batty, was shot and is still in the hospital. I believe he was shot in the head, which is horrifying. His brother was killed in the same altercation, I believe, in South Florida, which is where he's from. And he played at South Florida. So I think we're all just kind of waiting on news. There was apparently some reason to be optimistic earlier, and then maybe some things got a little worse overnight last night, talking about Sunday to Monday. Mm-hmm. And that's the last I've really heard, is as of like Sunday morning. So have you heard anything since then?
No.
Yeah. So just a terrible situation, and we of course thinking about Brian and his family, and yeah, it's just awful to have both of the brothers. That's just really terrible. There's been a GoFundMe set up to support the family in this time. I don't have it in front of me, but
I've got it. We'll put it out in the Twitter account in the show notes and stuff.
Okay. So we'll put it up on the podcast notes and in the Twitter. So yeah. But yeah, or you could probably just go on GoFundMe.com and just search for Batie family or Brian Batty. I'm sure that would get you there. So I also wanted to mention a very remarkably similar in some ways thing. I want to shout out to my brother Joey, who's in the hospital in Birmingham currently, because he had a stroke. That sounds horrible, but everything from that point forward has been positive. Okay. And I don't want to go into too much depth other than to say he wasn't off in the middle of nowhere by himself. He wasn't driving a car. A friend was on his way over to play golf with him and saw him as it was happening. And they flew him in the helicopter immediately to Birmingham. He got the life-saving treatment and I think is doing much better. I talked to him yesterday and I talked to my sister tonight, and apparently he's much better off. So I'm just so grateful that it worked out that way, because so many things could have been slightly different and it could have been a much worse situation. So
yes.
So just thinking about my brother tonight. Sure. All right. So I think we can turn the corner now in the what we like to call the most usually later in our show is the most awkward transition in podcasting.
Yeah, there's no good transition from there, but now we're going to talk about college football.
Yeah. So the thing that maybe will cheer us up to some degree in these times that are testing of men's and women's souls, right? It's good to have something that we all love and share together and that we can kind of just dig into and get our troubles out of the way. You know, it's one of the reasons, for example, that I don't really go into politics on my Twitter account, because it's for Auburn stuff mainly and sports stuff. And I want it to be that escape from the real world, where we can go into this world where everything is sports related and positive and happy for the most part, except for that long period of
potato.
Other than that, we had a nice, and the first year of this podcast, other than those two things, right?
And it wasn't the fault of the first year of this podcast.
No. But So let's turn our attention now to Auburn football and to there's a game and not a football game, but a game of how do you say it?
Video game.
A video game. So tell us about this.
So again, unless you've been living under a rock, you probably saw this, that the EA Sports rolled out their formal announcement for the next version of the NCAA football video game that will be released on July 19th. They put out a release trailer. Everyone online was excited. I've watched it several times. I've watched different people made different versions of it with different music laid over it. It's all great, and I enjoyed every one of them, and I'm very excited about the game now. So,
has there been a trailer that showed Auburn?
No, but there's been still images that showed Auburn. So, nothing detailed or close up or serious. So, I'm sure there will be many more trailers and footage things before July 19th. We will see something. So,
I did see the Ole Miss fans complaining that they weren't in it enough, considering we're a top five team. We're a top five team. Why aren't we in it more? And I'm like, because you're Ole Miss. I mean,
yeah. Hey, but it's also like, again, they were trying to show the depth and breadth of college football and the variety of things. I mean, there's a scene of a Wyoming player at home and there's snow coming down and stuff. And so there's the, you know, and there's different things. So looks good, and I'm excited, and I know some of the listeners and patrons are excited as well and can't wait to get it and play it. So I'm not a big online, you know, person. Don't play games online a lot against other people. I'll mostly play just by myself against the computer. So
that's how I used to do it. I haven't played a video game like that probably since I moved to Illinois. So I think right when I moved here in 2006, I had a Xbox or something. I forget what now. And I sold it. And that's the last time I played anything. So, gosh, almost 20 years. Wow. But I know, I enjoyed it back when I used to play it some. And
sure.
But see, I think what killed those kind of games for me is when they got so complicated. Because I enjoyed when you had like three buttons and you could run like the triple option and maybe four or five passing plays, and it was simple. And when the game got like, you might as well have a job being a coach of a high school team as play this game. I'm like, I'm not getting paid for this. You got to pay me to do this much work. You know, I don't want to do it for free. So
there is the gameplay element where I enjoy playing the game, like as Auburn against our potential opponents and even just other teams. Cause I always just enjoy that kind of stuff, but also just other teams. And so then you're like, actually just playing the game and choosing the plays, as Van says, on offense or defense. But then there's also the, you know, kind of dynasty mode thing where you actually could do the team over time and recruit players.
Good
and,
Lord. And, now it's just totally lost me.
You have to decide where to allocate your recruiting resources or whatever.
They should pay me to do that much work. My gosh, I'm not paying somebody to do that. To be able to do that. Good Lord. But no, I enjoyed, you know, just playing the game. What I really would like is, and see, this isn't really an option, I don't think. I don't like actually quarterbacking the plays. I like drawing up plays, and I like calling plays. I don't want to be the quarterback. I don't want to be the general manager, the athletic director. I just want to be the offensive coordinator. Is that so wrong? Why can't I do that?
No. I think we'll see. There may be an option where you can call the play and not actually be the player.
Because at that point, I just put it on computer versus computer and watch it like it's a game on TV. I want to be able to call the plays, though. And the funny thing, there was a computer game back when we were in college that was very primitive, but it was remarkably good at letting you draw up your own plays and then call them and run them, and the computer ran the play for you. I loved that. I think it was called Playmaker Football. And that was an awesome game, but that's not what the people younger than us wanted. They wanted to be able to control all the players and spin around and jump and throw the ball and everything. I have no interest in that. I have no interest in that.
But I do appreciate that it has like a lot of the actual playbooks that those teams use. So the UCF playbook will be, you know, Gus's playbook, and the Texas playbook will be Sark's playbook.
I'm trying to decide if I want to. You know what? I am.
Oh, here we go.
This is the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
Gus's playbook will be now be run by his offensive coordinator this year.
This is the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
Gus is taking control of the offense on the video game, after all.
This has been the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
I think I got my point across there.
No, but see, in the game, if you were Gus, you could, promote or demote that person. That would be
If I were playing the game and I were Central Florida, I would like play three games and then say, all right, now I'm letting the computer run the offense. And then I'd let the computer play three games. All right, I'm taking back control of the offense again. They brought me in here to this computer to run the offense. I'm more comfortable doing that. And then after three more games, be like, nope, I'm handing it over. I need to be the head coach. I'm handing it over to the computer.
The computerized players in your team are confused.
They're so confused, yeah. And then I would set it, of course. I would try to figure out how to defeat the thing that kept keeping me from getting offensive linemen, that glitch in the Matrix. Well, we got a commitment from Dante Core.
Yep.
That's a great name. That's straight out of Pulp Fiction or something. That's like an astronaut in Armageddon or something.
Probably is a character name for Armageddon. He is a 3-star cornerback from Northern Florida. And so I think they were looking for another defensive back in this class, and they liked him. They've had him around a little bit, so we'll see.
Well, my understanding about him, from what little I've heard the last 24 hours, is that he's a 3-star player, but room to go up. In other words, he hasn't necessarily maxed out at 3. That's just where he is right now.
No, and, you know, like LSU and Tennessee and Ole Miss were
next
around. So, yeah.
So that's a good sign, yeah. So don't. In other words, your reaction should not be a 3-star. Your reaction should be, "Oh, this guy's got a lot of room for improvement." And if multiple SEC teams are sniffing around his recruitment, you know he may very well get a 4th star before it's all said and done. Not that that really matters.
Evaluated him before other people saw it. So.
Yeah. In the shooty hoops, we picked up a guy. Now this was interesting how this played out. We had been trying to get a guy from Texas.
Yes.
And he kind of came down to Auburn and Cincinnati, and he ended up choosing Cincinnati. And then, like, within an hour or two, it seemed like we got the announcement of this guy from SMU. And my theory was they had him on the hook to see what was going to happen with the Texas guy. Is that how you feel about it?
You are correct 100%.
Yeah.
I think he was playing B. The Texas guy was like a starter for Texas.
Yeah.
And I think he would have come in absolutely fighting to start, you know, with our current power forward. So, and he has a lot of talent. And this is one of the problems we've had is that I think, you know, a lot of players wanted more assurance of playing time and starting position and stuff that we could give them. And I think this Texas guy was the same. And so he went to Cincinnati. We picked up Jaheim Hudson, as Van mentioned, from SMU. He's originally from the Atlanta area, played at Wheeler High School in Atlanta, spent 2 years at Georgia State. The Georgia State coach got hired at SMU, so he followed him to SMU, spent a year playing at SMU, and then left after the last year, and now is coming to Auburn. And again, his second year at Georgia State, they were an NCAA tournament team. He started and averaged 10 points and 7 rebounds. So a solid kind of low post guy, rebounder, you know, solid defensive player down low. I mean, I think a good physical presence off the bench that could be kind of an inside scorer and a rebounder and a defender that, you know, that we need in that spot.
Good deal. So, it didn't sound like the Texas guy, for all that he was, what he was, his numbers weren't particularly impressive, I didn't think. He was kind of like the basket shooter, and you know, not a very good free throw shooter. And I'm not crying that we didn't get this guy. Basically,
no, no. And again, I think some of the guards, in particular, we've gone after, have been guys that were, you know, other teams grabbed and may try to start. So we'll see.
Yeah. So it is tough when you've got a team. It's really weird how that works. When you have a team that's pretty loaded and only needs one or two more players like us, some players are attracted to the idea of, oh, I'm going to go there and win. But others are looking for, I want to start, or I want lots of money, or I want some combination.
Lots of shots.
Yeah, some combination of that. So you're not only looking for a guy that has the attributes you want, but also that somebody that can fit into the current situation of your program, of your team.
And I think that's one of the things Pearl mentioned in particular about this guy, Jaheim Hudson, is from talking to his former coaches, they felt like he might be a really good fit with, and having him on campus, they felt like he'd be a good fit with the roster.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. So what's the deal with our non-conference schedule?
Well, that Pearl was speaking at some, you know, charity golf tournament today, and he told the reporters there that Auburn is going to play the toughest non-conference schedule in the country.
On purpose?
Yes.
Wow.
Because it'll help us with NCAA tournament seeding, and it'll help kind of toughen the team up before SEC play. And he thinks his team could take it, I think. Yeah. But also, he's still hung up on the Yale game, and he was fussed about how we defended Yale and committed so many fouls. And he's like, I'm not over that yet. This is part of it.
I'm not over it either.
None of us are, Coach.
No. I'm totally with Thurston Howell III now that Harvard is far superior to Yale. Obviously, a Yale man. What have we got to look at it yet, or he's just saying that? But we
no,
really
he just talked about it. We know we're playing in this big tournament in Maui.
Yeah.
With a bunch of big time schools, I think North Carolina and Michigan State, maybe a couple other big ones are in there with us. So that's toward the Christmas holidays in Hawaii.
That's pretty serious.
But I think he's talking about some other games besides that, home and away. So,
Man, not the Big Boy Mowers. What was it, that great tournament we were in? The Big Boy something Mowers.
Yes. It's not that.
That was the best name ever for a tournament. But well, that's fun. That'll be good to look at and look forward to and see what our schedule looks like. We already know we just learned recently the SEC schedule, so now we'll be getting the non-con. All right, the softball season kind of came to an end. I believe Florida State, they beat Central Florida to get – I won't play the fanfare again, but they beat
now,
Central
Florida.
Now,
we lost, and then we won, and then we won again, and then we lost to Florida State, who is the host, and that was the end of our run. So,
and that's the end of this coach, right?
Yeah, it's the end of the season for the Auburn softball team, and it's the end of Mickey Dean, the coach. He is gone. So,
no more Dean.
No more Dean.
Oh, Howard Dean. You're talking about Mickey Dean. I was talking about Howard Dean. Okay,
it might be the same guy.
Could be. Could very well be. All right. So, and we'll see how that plays out. So now, you have something on the table for us here tonight, John.
Right. So I thought this was really interesting. I saw this online last week, and I said, this is a good topic to talk about with Van. It's interesting. Feeds a lot of our thoughts about stuff. So this is basically something that Parker Fleming, whose Twitter handle is like Stats of War, put out. And he basically, what he did is he took the projected wins for every team in the SEC, and then based on how Las Vegas feels about it, you know, the over-unders and stuff, and then he took who you're playing in the SEC only, not your non-conference opponents, and then he averaged the number of wins those conference opponents are going to have, therefore creating a ranking of SEC schedules from most difficult to least difficult. And I think it's interesting because, again, no more SEC East. We've thrown that out the window.
Oh, wait. Weird. No more SEC East and West? Uh, All right. Well, that's good. That alone deserves celebration. Okay.
Amen. But it's interesting how this came out. Again, we played 9 conference games, right? Over the course of the year.
No, mm-hmm. We play 8 still, don't we? We didn't go to 9. We're still on 8.
That's right.
So,
No, this is total wins of conference opponents. So it's not just the conference wins, right? So remember, Auburn's over-under is 7.5.
Yeah.
So any team that's playing Auburn on here gets 7.5. If you're playing Georgia, whatever, it's 10.5. You know, if you're playing Vanderbilt, it's 1.5.
Right.
So
this is the average.
Average those team numbers together, and you get what you get.
Gotcha.
Okay. And here's the ranking from top to bottom.
I want to say, before you kick us off, okay. Arkansas can't catch a freaking break. Because with the division structure, they were number 1. And now that divisions have gone away, they're number 2. they improved by 1. And what's funny is they were number 1 before Oklahoma and Texas joined, and they're still number 1 without Oklahoma and Texas.
Because they're number 1 among the returning teams.
Exactly. They're still number 1 among the teams that were in the SEC last year. So just want to say, the new fight song for the Arkansas Razorbacks is a lot of tuba in their fight song now.
I also appreciate that 2 teams are coming in the SEC and they were not treated the same.
No, they were not.
The hardest schedule of any projected team is Oklahoma at almost 9 wins a game.
Woo!
The second hardest is Arkansas, 8.6, and Florida at 8.6. And that doesn't count the Florida's non-conference games. That doesn't count Florida State
and Miami.
UCF or Miami.
They play UCF too?
Oh yes.
Oh man.
Athletic director does not like that guy.
Fight song of the Florida Gators. there's this kind of similar to Arkansas's fight song, their new fight song, yeah.
Mississippi State and Vanderbilt at 8.5. Not looking good for those 2.
Mm-mm.
South Carolina, 7.8. And then we get to kind of the middle. Alabama, 7.7. Georgia, 7.7. Auburn, 7.5. Kentucky, 7.5. That's kind of the middle trough, right?
It's so good to be in the middle for a change and not up there with Arkansas at the top. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. That's a more than 1 game difference. More than a 1-win difference. This is unheard of territory for Auburn.
But also, Vanderbilt, Florida, South Carolina in the top half instead of being in the bottom half because the SEC East thing.
Yep.
Then we go down Texas A&M, 7.1. Ole Miss, 6.7.
Ole Miss down toward the bottom. Look at that. That isn't right.
LSU, 6.6. Missouri, 6.3. Tennessee, 6.3, and Texas, the very easiest schedule, 6.25 wins. Wow. Oklahoma got the hardest, and Texas got the easiest.
By nearly three average wins. That's incredible. Yes. I got to point out, by the way, that the average, we're playing Oklahoma. Our playing Auburn is actually helping their average. I mean, it's bringing it lower because we're a 7.5 and yet their average is 8.88. So playing Auburn usually playing Auburn makes your schedule harder, but in Oklahoma's case, it actually makes it easier. That's how bad theirs is, right? Dang. I got to look at this now.
Good.
Let me look at Oklahoma 2024 football schedule and let's just see what they've got. They got Temple, Houston, Tulane. That's no easy gimme right there, Tulane.
Houston and Tulane are neither one's a gimme.
Right. Tennessee, Auburn, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Maine, Missouri, Alabama, LSU. All right. All right, that's fair. So get this. Of their last five games, of Oklahoma's last five games, they've got Ole Miss, Maine, Missouri, who's an 11-win team last year, Alabama, and LSU. That's a nice way to end your season, man.
Well, and again, they got Texas corner. Before that. It was in the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
There's no easy games in there.
No. And I mean, that's not amen corner. That's like double amen corner. That's five. That's very similar to our old amen corner of the 80s when we had Florida State, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Bang, 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 bang. That was a heck of a – when we used to do that, I could say something else there. But all right, so what are your thoughts based on these numbers we have just exposed?
Number one thought is, again, the Oklahoma-Texas thing is jarring. I think they got treated differently.
Yeah.
And number two, I think clearly the SEC East thing is, you know, going away makes a huge difference. But, you know, we see it playing out who benefited on the other direction. As you said, pointed out immediately, Ole Miss and LSU on the easier end of the spectrum, like a two-game difference, you know, over teams like Arkansas or Florida.
Yeah.
A two-win difference versus all their opponents. So, you know, those two teams, Ole Miss and LSU, think they're going to be good, and getting the easier schedule is going to help them. And again, since we don't play them, I don't care, right? Yeah, exactly. So they can wreak all the havoc they want to. I also just think, like, there are teams on the upper half of this list that think they're going to be good, right?
Uh-huh.
But
it's tough.
We don't. I mean, again, Florida wants to get better and be good, but with that schedule, that's a problem. Oklahoma, as you pointed out rightly, it's a problem for them. So,
well, that's the thing is Oklahoma's going to come in, and they're going to be the ones to get that punch in the face that we always talk about you're going to get in the SEC. Texas is going to be like, what was the big deal? Huh, this ain't nothing. So, in fact, let's look at the Texas schedule coming up. Here we go. So Texas, which is the easiest, allegedly, right? They've got
conference only.
Oh, conference only. Okay, they've got they do start with Colorado State and then Michigan.
Yep.
All right.
And is it at? It's at Michigan or?
I think
it's at Michigan. So yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. And then San Antonio and Louisiana Monroe, so they get a nice little break. All right, here comes their conference schedule. They got eight conference schedule back to conference games back to 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 back. Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M. Yeah, I can see where that's a little.
They got the white meat portion of the schedule. They got. Because Florida may be falling apart at that point, and they got Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Kentucky,
Arkansas,
South Carolina.
Arkansas.
And, or Arkansas, yes.
Yeah.
And again, they get Texas A&M at the end of the year, brand new coach there.
So they do end with A&M. That's neat that they end the season. We got that back again, right? For a while,
I'm excited about that game. Sure, that game, like Thanksgiving weekend, come on.
Oh, that'll be great. We get the three big Texas games that you hardly ever get in the same year anymore, like we used to. You get Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Texas A&M, all three, plus Georgia and Florida.
But that's cool. Is the other part. Look at in the conference games. I'm pretty Georgia goes to Austin. So yes. What is their toughest road game in the conference?
In the conference. They go to Oklahoma.
No, that's at the Texas State Fair. That's a neutral site game.
Okay.
Oklahoma's the host this year, but it's neutral.
They go to Vanderbilt. They go to Arkansas. And they go to Texas A&M. Wow. So even their toughest games are at home or neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
They have Florida at home, but they have Kentucky at home. They have Georgia at home. They have Mississippi State at home.
Mm-hmm.
So your chart, your numbers didn't even take into account. I guess it took into account in terms of how their win loss is going to be. So
So they didn't even take this part into account. It took into account the win loss thing. But you're right. Yeah. They get those games at home. Yeah. Texas is a neutral site in Dallas. Texas A&M is in state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, They're only leaving the state to go to, what, Arkansas and South Carolina?
Vanderbilt, Arkansas. They're not playing South Carolina. They leave the state.
Vanderbilt, Arkansas.
Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Oklahoma.
No, but again, Oklahoma's neutral in Dallas. Oh, so it's they're so only Vanderbilt, leaving the state for Vanderbilt,
Vanderbilt and Arkansas.
And Arkansas.
Where do we sign up for this? Man.
Good golly.
I can see where Texas feels like they're going to be back in the playoffs again. That Michigan game going to be a bear. September 7th.
No, that's big-time TV game right there.
Yeah. If Texas wins that, they are in good shape the rest of the way. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, SEC. Their Big 12 schedule might have been tougher than the SEC schedule that they drew. Now, to be fair, they could have drawn a very different SEC schedule that would have been more of a challenge. But I look at this, I look at what Texas is actually playing, and then I think about who they played the last few years, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Kansas State couldn't have given them a better game than Mississippi State or Kentucky.
Well, of course they could have.
Yeah.
But maybe we're trying to get Texas in the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're in good. I don't know how you could do it any better.
You are absolutely right. If you were trying to do it, it would look like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to when we play at Texas, but if we've already noted that that will probably be at least 3 years from now, because if they stick to this, and we don't know that they're going to stick, right? You'd like to think they'd go 4 years with the system, right? Because this system is designed with 4 years in mind, right? Yes. The teams that you don't play the first 2 years, you're guaranteed to play the second 2 years. That's the whole point. I just feel like people still don't understand this. I want to make this clear. This system was specifically designed to operate over four-year periods. You play, there's 16 teams, right? You play 8 of them home or away, and then you play those same 8 away and home, and then you play the other 8 home and away, and away and home. And it somehow the math works. I know there's only 7 if you count yourself, but you get it. So yeah. All right. So that's Texas and Oklahoma, and they're just going to be a fascinating side story to this whole season coming up. There's going to be Georgia trying to maintain, Alabama trying to say, we haven't lost anything. We're still Alabama. You're going to have Texas coming in, big boy boots, trying to stomp around on everybody. And you're going to have Oklahoma saying, hey, we're still Oklahoma. And, you know, and then meanwhile, you got LSU saying, hey, we're on the way up. We're LSU, you guys. Missouri out there saying, hey, we won 11 games last year. Don't count us out. You know, A&M's going to be all, hey, we don't want Texas to come in here and do more than we ever did in the last 12 years by ourselves. You know, that sucks. Florida playing for their lives. Did Arkansas change coaches? I can't even remember.
Nope.
So you still got the big boy Pittman. Yeah. So they will after this year. I'm just gonna go ahead and hear it. Let me news flash from 6 months from now. Arkansas fires Sam Pittman. This has been a news flash from 6 months from now.
Sam Pittman moves into off-the-field fundraising role for University of Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Nick Saban was still around, he could go get in the Nick Saban rehabilitation coaching system and be like an analyst, right, for lineman or something. I don't know.
An offensive line coach or whatever.
Yeah. And in 2 or 3 years, he'd be coaching Louisiana Monroe or something. No doubt about it. But it's a different world now without – what are they going to do without Saban's magical rehabilitation system?
Maybe they won't get rehabilitated. So
oh, man. Can you – I mean, think about all the coaches that went through that system and came out and, you know, I mean, from Kiffin to Sarkisian, just one after another passed through there and came out on the other side as a big-time
head coach. Many, many coaches passed through there and got rehabilitated.
Those are probably the two biggest names currently, right? Sarkisian and Kiffin, because they're both contending to get in the playoffs this year. And for a while there, neither one of them had a career.
And they're both SEC head coaches, right? So,
yeah. And they were both rock bottom for 5 minutes at some point.
Yes. So. They were both – seemed unemployable almost.
Yes, and then a little touch of Nick solves all the problems, just fixes you right up.
Little paint and sheetrock, fix you right up.
Fix you right up. It is going to be interesting to see how the win-loss records play out this year with no divisions. I mean, that to me is the big thing. I'm really looking forward to the playoff, although it's certainly – we've talked about how it's going to become the whole – it's going to be – college football is going to be like getting in the NCAA tournament basketball. It's all that's going to matter. And that's just how it is, whether you like it or don't like it. Learn – I mean – that's it, right? The college football playoffs.
Whether you like it or not, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! And when I say best thing, when Rick says best thing going today, what he means is only thing going today. So, you know, it's what's going to be going. And so you can, whether you love it or hate it, learn to like it because it's what it is.
Before we move on, your discussion about Oklahoma and Texas made me think about something. Do we want to go back and do a show or two before the season about Oklahoma and Texas and do some deep dives into their traditions and stadiums and history and coaches and who's on their current rosters and that kind of stuff? I don't know.
Bevo and the Sooner Schooner.
Just because I think we know a lot more about the rest of the SEC programs. And
yeah. That's a good idea. Let's make a note of that. It sounds like a alternate band I'd have listened to in the 80s out of Athens, Bevo and the Sooner Schooners. Here now is Bevo and the Sooner Schooners with their big hit. I don't know. Hail Sarkeesian. Sark, Sark, he's our man. Sark, Sarkeesian. That's not bad. So yeah, let's make a note. Let's do the Oklahoma and Texas deep dive. And in fact, we could do one week and one the next, depending on how much time we have. It's never as much time as we think it's going to be, right? Because here we are, it's already coming up on the end of May. So we got June, July, a little bit of August, and then, hey, here comes the barbecue show and, you know, whatnot. So,
Tempest Fugit.
Yeah. So you wanted to look at the first week.
This is just something we do every year in the off season, and just something to get me excited and focused about the season. Again, it's less than 100 days away from football. And so I just like to peek ahead at the schedule and see what's out there that I could think about for that Labor Day weekend and get excited about. So I'm going to lay out some games for you to think about and be excited about. Go ahead.
And by the way, I cleaned up some down here in the Palatial Studios this afternoon, and I threw away the 2023 football magazines. I feel like the ceremonial throwing away of the old football magazines. John is reaching back. He's finding. Oh, there it is. Is that 2023 or did you find
23? It's got Drake May.
Yeah.
And Jordan Travis on the cover.
Okay. The ceremonial throwing away of the old magazine is like winter. You know, fall and winter pass, and spring is around the corner.
New growth. Making room for new growth.
It is, yes. And by spring, I mean, of course, fall, because that's what the season we're actually looking for. But, yes, it didn't fit the metaphor, but of course. All right, so what have we got in week zero? Week zero.
So there are week zero games. Most of the years it involves Hawaii, and they're playing somebody, I think. Yeah, but in this year in particular, Florida State, Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland.
Aye, laddie. Now, see, that game would have seemed much more attractive if they'd had George O'Leary coaching the Yellow Jackets. Good old Coach O'Leary.
Funnel with a pint in his hand or whatever.
Oh, me lad. Somebody stole me football charms. They're magically touchdown-alicious.
Somebody stole my football resume.
Florida State, Georgia Tech in Dublin. Wow. So an ACC classic.
This is something they're doing now where they – last year was a Big 12 game, or it was Northwestern. I don't remember.
And then
I think a year from now – it was a Big 10 game last year, and that's this, and then next year I think it's a Big 12 game. And I'm
How
like,
is it not just the Notre Dame Invitational?
It was Notre Dame and Northwestern or Illinois or somebody last year. So
you'd think they would advertise it there as like – the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Come see them.
They just don't want to go abroad every year. So,
yeah, well. So Florida State, Georgia Tech. Well, the Dubliners are in for the tomahawk chop.
I feel bad for those Irish fans. I mean, they are going to hate Florida State so much at the end of this game. So.
But they're going to look at the Georgia Tech fan section and be like, do they not have any women? Where's the women? The entire school student body is nothing but nerdy lads. Nerdy computer programming lads. Where's the girls? Where's the lassies?
As somebody who sat in that section multiple times, I have no comment. So,
yeah.
All right, and then we move on to week one.
Week one, week one, week one.
This is, as I like to call it, games Van watches between panels at Dragon Con, because that weekend is Dragon Con, and I will be in Atlanta Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And so I just catch these games as I can in between running around doing stuff. Now, what do we got on the docket for?
I love the opening weekend of college football because it's like 5 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night.
The days
North Carolina, North Carolina at Minnesota.
That's a weird one. North Carolina, Minnesota is like a matchup we never saw and never knew we wanted to see, and frankly, really don't.
I don't. And then North Dakota State at Colorado, actually a dangerous game for Colorado because North Dakota State is one of the premier 1AA teams.
They're good.
So they're going to have to play well to win that game.
Ooh, yes.
And then Friday,
mm-hmm.
Temple at Oklahoma, you mentioned earlier. Yeah. TCU at Stanford, another weird intersectional matchup.
The Stanford of the big – of the ACC? No,
ACC. A Big 12 ACC matchup there.
Is Stanford the only university with Pacific shoreline that is in the Atlantic Coast Conference, or is there more than one with Pacific coastline?
Does Cal Berkeley have Pacific coastline or no?
Well, they're a San Francisco area, so they're close enough. Yeah. You could throw a rock and hit it. So I'm going to say, yeah. So, good gosh. That's up there with the Atlanta Falcons.
If you keep going on the Atlantic, eventually you get to the Pacific. So.
You do eventually. Well, you know what, John? It's all one world. And it's all ocean. It's all this big, one big ocean. And so it's all good, man. You could put a team from Kuala Lumpur in there, and it would all be the ACC.
That's truth. All right. And then Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Van will be looking around.
Oh, God.
Clemson against Georgia in Atlanta at noon.
During Dragon Con prime time, Bulldogs, Tigers, Klingons, and Stormtroopers, John. All of them together.
Anarchy. And then mid-afternoon, Miami at Florida, 3:30.
That could actually be an interesting game.
I am interested. I'm intrigued. I will be watching. And then in the evening, Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Notre Dame's good, and we got the brand new Texas A&M coach, so it'll at least be interesting to see how they play against a good opponent.
How does Texas A&M rate getting Notre Dame? I guess just all that money and the giant stadium, and I guess, all right. We remain one of the only major Division I teams to never play Notre Dame.
Yep.
We've never been seen together in the same place. Could be the same team. Nobody would know.
I don't think that's happened. So, and then other games we don't know the time of yet on Saturday. Penn State at West Virginia.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Virginia Tech versus Vanderbilt in Nashville.
Mm.
And then, of course, the Auburn's playing Alabama A&M, but we do not know an exact time yet. I don't think.
Yeah. That smacks of 2:30-ish, like a 3 o'clock or something.
It should be an evening kickoff game. Well, but it's all ESPN controls all that now, so.
Yep.
And then the great thing about Labor Day weekend is the games continue Sunday night.
LSU
gets Southern Cal in Las Vegas.
Interesting. LSU Southern Cal in Vegas. It's like a bowl game.
The Raiders have a very fancy, nice new stadium in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and there is a bowl game there that every other year is going to be an SEC game team against a West Coast team, and I can't wait till like Auburn plays Washington or Oregon in Las Vegas, you know, or Southern Cal or somebody. That's going to be fun.
That would. Yeah, well, that might get me to Vegas finally. I've written a book about it, but I've never actually been. So we have a little airport over here next to Scott Air Force Base, and it flies to two places, Orlando and Las Vegas. And so it'd be easy to get there.
There you go.
I got to just jump and go. And we're not done yet. It continues again.
And then Monday night, Labor Day evening, Boston College at Florida State. They return from Ireland and host the Irish people from Boston.
That's just so much Irish for Florida State. They're going to be – they're having leprechauns coming out their rear ends by the time that first couple of weeks are over.
Irish by the time that's over.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go through this because every year I like to do this little look ahead for myself. And there's a bunch more games that haven't been scheduled yet, but I felt those are the biggest ones. It's not as big a week one as some other weeks we've had. Other years we've had, week ones that were kind of wall to wall with great games. But part of that is because some of the other really good games are week two, week three.
Yes.
As you mentioned, Texas, Michigan. Mm. I think also Alabama's playing at Wisconsin in week two or week three.
Yeah, that's weird, but okay, I'll take that, yeah.
And there's one or two other games week two or week three which are big-time games. So this is – we're spreading it out just a little bit, but still enough here week one to get me excited.
So what's your most anticipated game from this list right here, other than Auburn? I mean, obviously, we want to see us do
– I think Miami-Florida. I'm ready for anarchy there.
Yeah.
And then – LSU Southern Cal, it means both those teams lost a ton, but both those teams lost the first two picks in the draft were the quarterbacks off those two teams. So,
that's amazing.
But I'll be interested to see who in that game could play defense because last year the answer was neither one of them.
That's for sure.
I mean, LSU had a Heisman winning quarterback and two first round picks at receiver. And they lost four or five games because their defense was a wet paper bag.
Yeah, those are all really – I mean, the thing is, these are like 80, 90% of these are games worth watching. Clemson, Georgia is one of those – I mean, I'll be in the middle of that game whether I care about it or not. I'm just going to be surrounded by Georgia and Clemson people that whole weekend, obviously. Thank goodness Dragon Con gets me a nice hotel room in the Sharky's machine, big glass cylinder, the Westin, so I don't have to fight. You remember a few years ago when I was having to get my own hotel room, I got kicked out of my hotel before I got there by the Alabama fans coming in for one of these games.
Yep.
That was ridiculous. They're like, they needed a block. I'm like, they can have some other block. This is my room. I reserved it months ago. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Yeah, those all sound cool. Miami, Florida's cool. Clemson, Georgia. I was going to say, Clemson, Georgia, that game is just always – it just seems like Georgia always wins that one.
Again, do we think it will be close? Do we think Clemson will hang around? I'm not optimistic about that.
Well,
I think Georgia's going to put him in a meat grinder.
See, it's like Clemson had their little period of being really, really good, and they lost to Alabama a lot before that period in Georgia. Now they're going to do it again. They just had their window. And that, that's the whole question about is Dabo running his program the right way? That's going to be a big talking point this season is he doesn't like transfers.
Well, he took zero.
Yeah. So it's kind of like proof of concept time, right?
They're going to.
Are they going to go back to like 7-5 like they used to be or what?
They're going to be like 8-4.
After we just played them like every year for five straight years when they were at the top of the – that's what always happens.
It's that weird play when they win 10-11 games. Now they're
absolutely
going to be bad.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, but totally predictable. So, all right, let's give a quick Fantasy Formula 1 update. We had our Fantasy Formula 1 – we had a race this past weekend at Imola in Italy. And, in the race itself, Lando was catching up and catching up and catching up. Anything that breaks up the monotony of Max Verstappen winning by 15 seconds every week, I'll take in a heartbeat. Lando won the last race in Miami. He came and did you hear what Lando did after he won the race in Miami? He went out and partied. He didn't sleep. He went out and partied that Sunday night and then got up Monday, didn't go to sleep. On Monday, went and played two rounds at Augusta National, at the Masters course, and said he shot his best golf of his life, which he thought was almost better than winning the race. So,
wow!
I just love the idea that this guy, without sleep, goes and gets to do two rounds at Augusta. How many of us get to say that we can get to do that? So, being a Formula One famous driver has its perks.
But also, win a race in Miami and then play Augusta National, like that's a great. 48 hours.
That's a pretty solid 48 hours, man, without sleeping. Yeah. So then he comes right back and almost catches Max at the end. Max had a big lead, and Lando almost caught up behind him and was like, he was less than a second behind Max on the last lap, but just couldn't. It's really hard to pass at Imola, and he never really, if you're in within 1 second, you can get that DRS boost, but he didn't have it long enough to get around him. So here is our quick Fantasy Formula One fantasy update for those of us, for the patrons. And if you still want to jump on board and play for fun this season, go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron, and the link is out there, is on the Patreon page of how to sign up for the league. Currently in first place is Tiger Transit, followed by Non-Offensive Name, Albimobile, Qualified Disaster in fourth, Alpha Plexi, that's one of my teams, in fifth, Toro Plexico, one of my teams, is in sixth, and then AU98 Racing, Ringers Ringers, that's the Alexandra Ringer team, run team, Vans Racing Ford Mustangs, which is not my team, that is another player's team, and then Mississippi Racing. So hats off to Joshua Corbett and Lane Middleton, who are currently holding down the top four positions, followed by me at five and six. And what came down for me is that Logan Sargeant, the American driver, just continues to take points away from my team. He's killing me. God almighty. I also wanted to mention really quickly, I'm talking about racing, If you enjoy the Indy 500, they had a great qualifying weekend this past weekend. The race is coming up on Sunday, the Sunday before Memorial Day. The Monaco race is, the Formula One race is the same morning. So again, if you want to play the Fantasy Formula One League with us, get in now and you can be part of the Monaco Grand Prix, which is always a fun race. It's really weird. It's this tiny little track, and they never really get to go super fast on it, but it's, you're going over hills and around corners and through tunnels blind. It's insane. I don't know how people don't get killed on that track. It's like a go-kart track with Formula One cars on it, running over billionaires. But the Indy qualifying was so fantastic because a couple of things. One, they had they had a NASCAR guy come over, Kyle Larson, I think, that's really, really good. He came over and stuck it on, he ended up qualifying fifth over most of the IndyCar guys. And then he took a helicopter to North Carolina and competed in the NASCAR All-Star race. This coming Sunday, he's going to do the Indy 500 from 11 to 3 and then fly to North Carolina and do the Coca-Cola 600. So he's going to do 1,100 miles in less than one day of racing. That's crazy. But the three Penske cars on the front row, it really sucks. I like Penske okay, but I bought my Camaro from Penske Chevrolet in Indianapolis, which I thought was pretty cool. But I don't cheer for their drivers. I like the McLaren guys. So Alexander Rossi, hopefully he's starting fourth, best of the rest, and we'll see how that goes. Anyway, book update. Just we're reminding everybody, if you've read First Time Ever or the basketball book, either one, just go to Amazon and or Goodreads and leave us at least a star rating, if not a short little review telling folks that this is a good book. We appreciate it. That helps more people find it. And now we have to thank the patrons that keep the whole program going to begin with in the first place. So these are the folks who went to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and they clicked on the big orange button to become a patron. And they include Samuel Salvatore, who always reminds us that
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming,
with pearl white snow. We have to thank Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crackham, Logan Chilton, who says that when he heard Rule Britannia was gone from the soundboard, he said,
no!
Yeah. Ann Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David W.D.E. Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Harry Zagger, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor. Phil Amthor says, Puggies, just getting Van ready for next basketball season.
for while you can, the monkey boy.
Yeah, I can't ever pronounce that name right. It always, when I see it written down, my brain just does not want to say it. So there you go.
I think every patron should change their name to Patrice.
No, God, no. No, please.
Wrong!
No, God, no, please. Because I'll just look at the list of patrons, and I'll just say,
No!
There you go. So, Richard Stevens, who has been asking the very serious question, how do I get out from under the guy that wanted to know? And he did. He somehow has gotten out from under that. So good for good for you, Richard. Oh, he didn't. He changed it. Phil changed it. Ah, there you go. So, Richard, you're not behind the know anymore, and yet I still did it after all. I'm sorry, Richard. I did you wrong there without even thinking about it. Starting July 12th, Win Carroll has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24, which is...
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
I love that. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, War Eagle from South Arkansas, Willie Carden, Alex Browns, Antoine Morris, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Bob W.D. Salmons Esquire, a.k.a. 76 Tiger Sleazy Shyster for...
Jones, Barbecue Foot Massage!
Boris for President. What? Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby. French fries aren't cooked in France. They're cooked in Greece. Yep, he said it. H-Town, Danny, In-Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. This is always our favorite. Oh, I didn't do the... Hold on.
Tonight's forecast. Frosty!
We're pretty good. I'm just DJ Jazzy Van over here working the soundboard. That was all right. Turn a mess up into a positive. No on Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Rhodesian Mudflap, I continue to enjoy, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Wade Ward, WD Richie wants a competent offense this year. Well,
oh, for a muse of fire.
No kidding. That would ascend... the greatest heights of passing offense. A 5-star for a receiver, a competent quarterback, and offensive lineman to block for the rough stage. That's what I want. Weagle, Wardam Eagle. Weagle is not here tonight, actually. He was here visiting us last time, but then he ended up at graduation, which was a whole other nightmare, and he's recovering. His nerves got shot. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy. This is the year Peyton Thorne has improved so much under this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson. I did a little pause before Boris's what there, I think, but it's probably not going to come out because the audio compresses. So my efforts at being clever there are will be nullified by technology. Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams points out that...
Whether you like it or not, learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! Woo! Philip Martin, the only thing that'll get me more fired up than that...
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
That's what I'm looking forward to this fall. Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Walt Austin, Weagle 87, Woody the Jag, 5-time SEC golf champions. At the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. I've still got my little heat, my hot sauce chart for like how we're feeling about things here. A few more patrons left. Alex Nguyen, that's a patron. That's not me saying that. Alex Nguyen, AU Falling Up, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, and finally, Construction Tiger, CT Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Doug Godfrey, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I am Tiger, Evil HR Director of...
Jones, Bob. barbecue foot massage.
I don't like I don't like Oklahoma joining the SEC, but okay. Yep.
Ugh.
I know it. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Britt Rains, who reminds us that the barbecue...
You have failed me for the last time.
A.K.A. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
New York Tiger will not let the New York Rangers break his heart again this year. That's what he tells us. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, I'm at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Back for while you can, the monkey boy.
This is true.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. www.auwishbone.com is the name of the game. And now... Who can it
be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 125. Guess the Game 125 is brought to you by... Auburn Football's Elvis, not to be confused with Auburn Elvis. This is Auburn Football's Elvis.
Yep.
And let's see what Auburn Football's Elvis sent in for us.
One setback, that's a short drop, and he's going to throw long this time in the end zone. Over the shoulder catch. Touchdown, Auburn! Beat their cornerback.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Oh, God.
All right, that was a very old clip.
That was Jim Fife, for sure.
I think it felt older. It did not feel like a recent Jim Fife.
No, it was probably like early mid-80s or something on the radio, yeah.
But over-the-shoulder catch touchdown. For a touchdown?
But he didn't go ape poop, so it wasn't like Alabama or something probably, right?
It wasn't the game winner, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, all we have to go on there is Jim Fife, older game, not a super dramatic touchdown. Over the shoulder
and over pass. The shoulder catch. That's not enough.
Let's. I mean, quickly just scan through a few highlights from the Jim Fife era, which would be the 80s and 90s through 2002. So, Lawyer Tillman, Freddie Weygand,
Frank Sanders,
Karsten Bailey. Yeah, Frank. I don't know.
Let's go to the head file.
Yeah, I think we need more information than that.
Because we have no idea about opponent here. We have zero clue.
No, exactly.
Here we are in the head file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give it another listen.
One setback. That's Joseph Reggie. A short drop, and he's going to throw long this time in the end zone. Over the shoulder catch. Touchdown, Auburn! Alexander Wright beat Rodney Harris, their cornerback.
All right, guys. In addition to what you just heard, I'll give you one more hint. This was before the Hugh Freeze era. All right, I'll see you in the answer file.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Jared. So that was Slack to Wright.
So, Ray Slack, James Joseph, Alexander Wright. So we're talking about, 89?
Mm-hmm. 88.
88?
Yeah. Well, who was that defensive back?
Harris, but I
don't know the name.
I don't remember who that kid played for.
No. I mean, we got the year within a 2-year window, but I don't know the opponent.
How about this? Games we know Alexander Wright toasted people.
Pacific. Yeah.
Why not the Pacific game?
You know, if it's Alexander Wright, 89 is more likely than 88. He was on the 88 team, but I think 89 is more likely. So
let's go
with 89. It could be Pacific. It's on the radio too, so that could be even more likely.
Yeah, fair. But, I mean, the Pacific ones, were they all bombs or were there any shorter ones?
No, that's a good point. I don't know.
Let's go Pacific.
Let's do it. Why not?
All right. Jonathan, Vankers away. If you guys guess that this is Auburn playing Georgia in 1988, then you got it. Thanks again to Auburn Football's Elvis for sending that. And if you want to be like Auburn Football's Elvis, you can reach out to me with a play for Guess the Game. I am at Yard Sale Artist on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me at Jarrod, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Borgle.
Thank you to Jarrod and Auburn Football's Elvis. I want to say, like, this is frustrating because Van and I were both at this football game. Yeah. Okay. There's no doubt about it. The 1988 Georgia game, we were both there in the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
This was at home when that happened. So, But it's also probably, I may never have heard the radio call of that play.
That's true. That's true of a lot of those games back then, is that they have famous calls that we didn't hear.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, all right. Well, that was cool.
Good job.
All right, and now I'm just going to do the... Coming up, we have Around the SEC and listener questions. But first... our perennial current off-season winner of the worst internet in the world goes to AT&T once again, because I did get it fixed. We have a new router this week. We have gotten the pass-through set up so that our network's not competing with itself. Everything's been working great.
I'm knocking on wood, as you say. This keep
going. Then we've had several moments tonight where I've gotten an unstable network system alert. And so it's the first podcast or video I've done in 2 weeks now that's been giving me trouble alerts. So, you know, really annoying. And with that...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Please clap.
All right. What's going on from the listeners?
All right. First up, again, we have been asking for and we have received listener requests for new soundboard clips. I'm putting together a little bracket. We'll have some voting each week going forward. We got one last week from frequent emailer Bill Miner, who sent us in the Michael Scott from The Office clip as he re-entered the dating world, and he says, "I'm ready to get hurt again." That is Auburn fandom at its core, and I really like Bill for suggesting that one, so that you can look forward to that in the future. And then Bill sent in an email, an actual question, and he said, "I was listening to your last week's episode this morning, and I had a great question to ask, so I'm sending it now before I forget. You'd mentioned some interesting uniform combinations that could be brought. So here's a hypothetical. Soccer and now some baseball teams have corporate logos on their uniform. Which brand would you love to see on Auburn if they ever had that down the road? Count me in for Milo's, but somehow I imagine it'd be Yellowwood."
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, this is something we do not ever, ever want, but I like the idea of if it in some alternate universe, if they did it, what would it be? And I think it 100% would be Yellowwood.
Apple?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It could be like the Formula One polo shirts that they have, where they got the logos down the sleeve. They'd have like the Apple and then Yellowwood and... I guess not Russell anymore because they're going to Nike, but or whoever, but whatever, like Alabama, the hot dog, wouldn't it used to be like Brian's or something, or Ziegler hot dogs or something.
Okay, well, what's this, Konica?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Then on the back, it's just a giant Guthrie's logo.
Oh, God. I couldn't watch football without getting hungry, man, if you put Guthrie's on there. Still galls me that they're not here, that Zaxby's is 2 hours from me. Raising Cane's is 40 minutes from me, but Guthrie's is 9 hours away.
Only 18 hours round trip.
Yeah, well, you can look at it that way. Less than 20, yeah.
All right, next question's from Mr. David Garner, who says, question for the podcast. Number one, which college football program is the best to never win a claimed national championship? And number two, which program is currently the most likely to break through? You can use any metric for number one historical. All right. While we're here, I'm going to Google this live.
I was trying to think because, you know, for a long time they said that we were the best program that hadn't won in a long time. Then there was like Georgia. So who are we forgetting that hasn't?
All right. These are teams that have never won a recognized national title. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Baylor, yeah. Boise State, Boston College, Cincinnati, Houston, yeah. Kansas State, Louisville, yeah. Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
North Carolina.
I was going to say North Carolina. NC State. I was going to say North Carolina, NC State. Which one of them breaks through first?
Northwestern, Oregon.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a shot, didn't they?
Had a shot. Purdue, Utah, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Wisconsin.
Virginia Tech stands out to me as
another team that played in a national title game and lost.
Yes.
Michael Vick lost to Florida State.
Didn't Oregon play in two and lose?
Yeah, they lost to Florida State
with
No, they beat Florida State in the semifinal and then they lost to somebody else in the championship game.
Yeah. Maybe Ohio State.
Yeah. Somebody.
I think it was.
Out of that list, I'm going to go with Utah. It's always good.
I think they could break Virginia Tech. But
I think they can do it. I think they can get back there and do it. But obviously, Oregon is the one that just leaped off the page here.
Oh, currently, yes.
Yeah, but again, I think NC State and North Carolina are both perennially good teams in the right year. Could be there.
That's a good question. I guess
he just wanted us to know who we thought would break through out of that list. I think we've answered that. It's interesting to think about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question is...
Was Mississippi State not on that list? I know. Ole Miss won one back in like the 40s or 50s or something, right? Back with Vaught.
Now, but again, like Mississippi State has won a baseball title, I think. So. I guess this is some of the teams. This is not comprehensive, so...
Okay.
So Mississippi State, but like Vanderbilt is obviously on this list, right?
For sure.
But they're not doing anything. It's funny, Missouri's on here. They won 11 games last year. We didn't even consider saying them.
They're in my top five of teams that are probably due someday. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Keith Dale Spawn had a listener question, and I'm going to have to go back to look at it. Give me 1 second here.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, so there was an online tweet about move the Iron Bowl back to Birmingham. and he was like, and Keith's response was, okay, yeah, let's play 53 straight games at Jordan-Hare to balance the home field advantage that we could talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Good show topic for the AU Wishbone.
Yeah, really. As if somebody didn't just write a book about how we had to get it away from Birmingham.
But you know what it made me think of? Mm. The great thing that we discovered talking about that book on this podcast, that very soon Auburn will be the site of the most ever Auburn-Alabama games, and neither Birmingham or Tuscaloosa will ever catch us.
That's just incredible. That blew my mind. I wish we'd included it in the book because I never thought of it. But it's true. It's because it's a weird twist that it's because we started playing in Auburn when they were still playing Alabama's game in Birmingham. If Alabama had moved the game from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa the minute we moved it to Auburn, they would be ahead. But they waited several years, and now eventually Auburn's going to pass Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. And that's hilarious. Hilarious.
So good. So good. And then the last listener email is Josh Corbett, who let me know tonight, reminded me, he said, I feel old. And it's because today Auburn made an offer to a future recruit who is the son of Chris Davis, who ran the kick six back. His son is a high school player that Auburn made an offer to.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's been 11 years, but still.
It's been 11 years. His son is, a 8th or 9th grader.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, that's fine. He certainly has the pedigree.
Well, but other than just making us feel like we're 105, it's fine.
Right. I mean, that's because that's not even like Bo Nix, because Patrick Nix was when we were in graduate school or whatever. That's, oh my gosh. That is a terrifying thought.
So, all right. That's it for Lister Questions.
Yeah, all right. we're going to go around the SEC, I want to mention one other thing we didn't mention. We can talk more about this in the future. Is it looks like you and I are going to get to make an appearance. Now, I guess I'll hold off on saying where or anything for now, but we have an invitation coming up to speak somewhere. So I'm very excited.
It is exciting. Look forward to releasing that news on the future podcast.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So now let's get ahead and get in the Aubiemobile and fire things up here.
Trip around the FTC.
There's no around the SEC this week, but I wanted to put some around the ACC in here as the ACC turns. You know, two of their schools are suing them, and the league is suing back. And now North Carolina has gotten particularly messy. They have a bunch of internal squabbles. They're fighting with the conference about money. And the conference just had its annual meeting where everybody had to sit down at the table and act like they liked each other.
Well, it's probably a little easier without Saban there. I don't know. What do you think?
No, but this is the ACC, right?
I mean, oh, the ACC. I'm sorry. I think about the SEC coming up. Yeah. Oh, that's
ACC
right.
The ACC had to sit at the table with Clemson and Florida State and pretend they all got along.
So. Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, and there's so much drama. So much drama in the ACC. And if they're not all, like, some of them are bailing out and some are going to – I mean, what do we have any idea what's going to happen with the ACC? Something dramatic. Maybe they can team up with Oregon State and Washington State and be the Pac-6 or something.
Well, I mean, Clemson and Florida State want out. But it is not apparent at all to me that there is a place for them to go. I think people are like, well, if they got out, the Big Ten and the SEC would just take them tomorrow. But I don't believe that is true. I don't believe the SEC would take them tomorrow because I don't think the SEC would get more money for taking them. So the idea that, again, are Clemson and Florida State behind in terms of making money because they're in the ACC? Yes. Is there a magic recipe where they could get more money, you know, back from being another conference? I don't know. I don't see it. So part of Florida State's plan is this thing where they're basically, like, you know, they're talking to private equity investors about, like, putting out bonds and basically selling a portion of future athletic department proceeds to bring in money so they can buy their way out of the ACC and go do their own thing.
Good Lord.
Which then they'll be in debt to these terrible people. So,
oh my gosh.
That is really bad, and I worry about that. And I worry, again, I live in Virginia. I have many friends who go with the Virginia Tech and or other schools in ACC, and I worry about that conference. I think, you know, it's bad for college football that we're in this place where that conference may, you know, melt down and not exist at some point soon.
I there comes a point where I don't want any more teams in my conference. That point was 10. I'm having to deal with 16.
We can kick South Carolina and Arkansas tomorrow. I'm okay.
Yeah. I know everybody wants to kick Missouri out. I don't, just because of proximity and everything, but I understand.
What's good for Van, it's okay.
Yeah, but and I don't want to kick out Vanderbilt because, again, you got to have somebody you can regularly beat. You don't want all powerhouses in your conference. That's no fun. But I'm perfectly happy with 10. 16 is already too many, but it's a nice round number in terms of, like, symmetrical and everything, and you can break it apart for scheduling and all. Beyond that, I mean, because doesn't the Big Ten already have more than 16?
Yes, because now they have Oregon and Washington joining too.
Are they 18 now?
I think so.
I can't keep track of it. And the fact that we're not sure how many teams are in the Big Ten says a lot. It's right there in the name, and we don't know.
Big Ten-ish.
The big...
10 plus.
Yeah. We've all gone a little bigger than 10 over the years as we... You know, enjoy too much fine dining, so I understand that. All right, well, let's keep an eye on the ACC, and will it become the edge of night? Will they all go to the ACC General Hospital? They've only got one life to live, and we'll see what happens to them. I don't know. I just hate seeing these conferences melt down and fall apart. But you know, with the playoff, it's not nearly as catastrophic in terms of the bowls because they want to go to the playoff, you know.
But this is the other part. They're in the ACC. The ACC champion gets an automatic berth.
Yeah.
Stay.
No kidding. I mean, the reason Florida State's in the ACC to begin with is to have a better access to postseason success. Mm-hmm. That's 100%.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding, well, ding, ding.
So I guess now we know that money is even more important than winning and being champions. It's revenue, mm-hmm. revenue, revenue.
If the ACC gets destroyed and they're independent and then they don't get an automatic berth because they're not the conference champion, I'm going to laugh.
And the SEC just gets an extra one.
Yeah, it'll be another SEC team. Be like, oh, well, Florida State didn't get it.
No. Too bad. Well, Florida State knows all about being left out.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's funny. At the time, I was on their side. But I think back to 2013 and all, and I'm like, ah, sucks for you guys. Huh.
Too bad.
Too bad. Well, John, I think we're to the end of our program for this week. Bring it in at a nice, reasonable time. Any final thoughts as we head toward the summer?
It's a long off season, but you can make it.
You can make it. The magazines are coming. Barbecue's coming. Barbecue.
Clearing out that old stuff. New growth's on the way.
New growth on the way. All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wiggle, John.
Wait a minute.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.